Next week, Peggy will be starting a Sunday school class, and she'll have a short 3-week session. Again, I apologize. I forgot what it is that she's going to be doing. But then starting in October, George Peterson will be back, and he'll be teaching his class and probably picking up where they left off. And Peggy will be doing her class. So we'll have 2 adult classes going at that time. So, enough commercials. Let's get into the gospel message. Let's look in Romans chapter 15, and we're going to start with the 14th verse. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, incompetent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an acceptable offering to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God, by what I have said and done, by the power and signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not seen, who have not heard, will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the encouragement and instruction you have there for us. Now, Lord, we pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to lead and guide, to give us understanding of this word. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch and lead me, that as I speak, it might be you that speaks through me, and that each person here would hear directly from you in your voice this morning. Father, that I might totally step aside and that you may come forth. That your gospel might be proclaimed and your people encouraged and the body edified. Lord, we pray for your blessing and for your leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Paul really wasn't much of a pastor. Some people get a little bristly about that, but fact of the matter is, Paul was a lousy pastor. He didn't have the pastor's heart. What did he do with Timothy when Timothy, you know, ran away and then wanted to come back? He said, no, he deserted us once. But Barnabas said, no, I'm going to take him under my wing. And he and Barnabas parted ways. See, Paul just didn't have that pastor's heart. What Paul had is the evangelistic fire, the evangelist heart. He was a leadership trainer, a trainer of leaders, and he knew what a pastor job was supposed to do, and he was able to instruct in it, but it wasn't what he did. It wasn't who he was. He was about going someplace new and preaching the gospel. He didn't want to build on someone else's, and he just didn't want to sit in one place and build his own place either, or even build a place for God. He wanted to go wherever it was that the gospel hadn't been preached before and preach it. However, he felt he also had a special anointing and commission from God for the purpose of seeing to it that all the Gentiles were reached and to make sure that they're all walking on the straight and narrow. He was, if you would, that word of correction that sometimes we need. Sometimes that's the way it's got to come. Sometimes the correction comes as a gentle hand on the shoulder. Sometimes some of us, quite frankly, need something a little bit more drastic. Remember, God required a Massey Ferguson tractor for me and a shattered leg in order for me to get my act together. Well, some of us are easier to get their attention and some aren't. And Paul, in his letters, sometimes speaks quite bluntly, doesn't he? He's said some things in these letters, especially here in Romans. He's told them, don't do this, to do this. Don't allow these people to do that. And now he's telling them that even though I told you all this stuff, I know you knew this stuff. I know you know it. Because you have heard the gospel message. You have the Holy Spirit. I am not the only one that has the Holy Spirit. You know it. You've got it. But I am going to hold you accountable for it. I am going to hold you accountable for it. That's why I'm telling you about it. I'm seeing some things, or I'm heard some things, and I'm going to let you know that you need to stick with the program. Why did he do that? Because that's what he felt that the Lord had given him for his ministry. Paul was bold in his ministry. Why? Because he was following the leading of the Holy Spirit. He could take that boldness and go forward. If you know you're walking with God, if you know that you're doing what it is God told you to do, if you know what you're saying is what it is God wants you to say, don't whisper or be sorry or be wishy-washy about it. Be bold. As Paul was bold. In fact, he was so bold he got stoned a couple of times. We're not talking about drugs here. We're talking about rocks thrown at somebody till they're left for dead. He got run out of town. He got thrown in jail. He was arrested for a couple of years. We talk about the persecuted church today and the example of these men who shared the Jesus film and end up going to jail for it. That's boldness in ministry because they're showing the Jesus film in an area where such a thing could happen. So Paul shows us boldness here. He says, I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God has given me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Hello, Gentile. That'd be all of us who are not Jewish. Anybody here Jewish? I didn't think so. The Jews need Jesus too, but Paul specifically was given the message to the Gentiles. Now, you may not be given a direction to minister to all the Gentiles. You may not be the evangelist Paul was. But you are yet to be an evangelist. You are yet to do the ministry which God has instructed you to do. What ministry is that? Well, don't ask me, ask God. What has He put your heart for? See, Paul has a heart to take the gospel to everywhere that it hasn't been heard before. Where's your heart? What is it that God's moving in you and directing you and pushing you to be doing? I'm more of a pastoral type who has a lot of evangelism kind of rolled in. It's kind of a strange thing. I'm also this hospital type guy. I do chaplains and things. You know, it's kind of weird, my ministry. And the ministry here, I mean, honestly, we look at it around us and we say, what is God doing here? I mean, some weeks we'll have 20 people, some weeks we'll have 50 people. But yet, last week, we had testimonies up here of Vacation Bible School. We had 19 kids, yet 6 accepted Christ. We had Margie, who had been out evangelizing with a group, doing, you know, she's a track pusher and talker, and she'll just pray with people. She just has that heart. Well, you say, I could never do that. And Margie says, well, I don't do it. The Holy Spirit does it through me. You know? But she went, and she was presenting the gospel to people who spoke Spanish, and she spoke no Spanish. But yet, she let... Margie, how many people did you lead in the sinner's prayer? Do you remember? How many people did you lead in the sinner's prayer? 9. Okay. Now, she led 9 people through the sinner's prayer. And as she's leading them through a Spanish tract, pointing to where she's at and presenting, and they're reading in Spanish, and she's presenting in English, and then they want to pray. 9. And Brett and Carla, they got a couple guys come to their door, and what they want? They wanted to sell them something to raise money for their football team. What happened? 2 of them received Christ. The 2 that were there, they said, did you want to pray the sinner's prayer and confirm that they were... Yeah, they did. They okay. And then what happened? The next day, they're pounding on the door. Come on, our buddy needs to get saved. Pray, show him. Well, let's see. 9 and 3 is 12. And 6 is 18. And there's some Sunday mornings we've got 18 people here. Yet those are 18 lives that were touched for Christ in a significant, life-changing way last month. In the month of August. And there are more that I haven't talked about that have gone through the ministry of this church and through those of us here. We have people who come here to church for a season or two, and they'll leave. And we'll go, why did they leave? Well, we ministered to them. They needed someplace. They'd been beaten up spiritually someplace, or just were searching. And we're a very accepting, loving place. And they came, they got healed up a little bit, and they were able to move on. It's happened to family after family. God's using us. We need to be bold in the ministry that He has given us. Don't be shy about it. This is who we are. This is what we do. We lead people to Christ, they go on to church elsewhere. That's okay. Some of them, they're ending up at places like Open Door and Crystal Leaf Free and Emmanuel Christian Center. North Heights Lutheran Church. Okay, these are places that have over 5,000 people on a Sunday morning. They've got more programs. They got more stuff. They got a better preacher. See, Shelly would have laughed. See, I knew it. I knew I was going to work that in this week, didn't you? So, we need to be bold with what it is the Lord has given us. Just as Paul was bold in directing the church, because his commission was to all the church and taking it out there to hold them accountable, to lead them to Christ, to go places where it hadn't been presented before. Well, some of us are given different jobs, but we need to be just as bold in them, just as Paul was. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Paul here, it's not him, it's the Holy Spirit working through him. And he's not going to be shy because who's he talking about? He's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about what it is God has used him in doing. What has God done in your life? Has God not done anything in your life? If God hasn't done anything in your life, we need to speak. We need to talk. Okay? But if God has done something, and I know He has, you need to talk about it. You need to share it boldly. The power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. That self-same power is working in each of you and in me. Same power that raised Jesus from the dead, same power that it empowered Paul's ministry and Barnabas' ministry and Peter's ministry and John's ministry empowers your ministry and my ministry. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. And He doesn't tell us all to do the exact same thing now either. Why? Remember, the body of Christ. Hello? Do we want all of us to be lead singers? Butch, should I be the lead singer up here? No. We don't want to do that. I'm more than happy to have Butch lead. He can. He's been gifted in that area. Where has God gifted you? Where has God placed the desire of your heart? Move forward with boldness. Just as Paul has done. It may end up hindering you from doing some other things that you wanted to do. Chris was kind of talking about that this morning. He was working, being used of God. He'd gone on a mission trip and God spoke to him and said, Chris, I want you to be single. And he's like, I don't want to do that. And then he did it. As he said, he got angry at God instead of going back to God and said, okay, now God, what do you want me to do with this singleness? He's revisiting that now. But when God gives us a direction, we need to move in it. As individuals and as a church. And sometimes when we're moving in the direction that God has told us to do, our personal wants and desires aren't going to be fulfilled, at least not the way we anticipated them. Paul wanted to go to Rome. And he kept getting things in the way. Eventually he did go to Rome, didn't he? As a prisoner in chains. That wasn't the way he was intending to go. But sometimes, in fact, you can pretty much say all the time, when we're doing what it is God wants us to do, there's other things that we're not going to be able to do that we're going to miss out on. And that's okay. Was Paul still able to impact the people in Rome even though he didn't go there? Well, he sent the letter. He wrote the letter. And eventually he did go there. But yes, he did impact the people in Rome. Why? And how? Through the Holy Spirit. And because he followed. And he did what it was God, and his impact was much larger than he recognized or anticipated. Be bold. There we go. This is what Paul did. This is what God wants us to do, for it is exactly what Jesus did. Being bold doesn't mean that you have to be brash. It doesn't mean that you have to be rude. But sometimes it means that you don't back down. And sometimes it means that you pay a price. And those are things which our Lord Jesus showed us and Paul showed us and everyone who's ever followed the Lord has shown us. So as you step forward, being bold in ministry that the Lord has given you, again, seek after Him in prayer and through His Word. Seek after Him through the gifting that He's given you and the directions, the doors that He's opened in your lives. Through talking to other brothers and sisters of the Lord. Say, you know, I think the Lord's calling me to, you know, become a worship leader. What do you think? And you know what? If that's George talking, I don't know anybody who's going to say, have you really, really prayed hard about that? They'd all probably, most of them are going to come up and say, you know, I think you may be right there. But if it was me saying that, people say, are you sure you're hearing from the Lord? I know the Lord can do miracles. And He could do one, and when you get in front of that microphone leading a worship service, you could actually sing on key. It could happen. But I don't think that's where the Lord has gifted you or is leading you. And there would be people around me, namely my wife, who would say, no. And that would be good Christian counsel. But when I said I wanted, I think the Lord leading me to start a police chaplaincy here in Brooklyn Center, people are saying, yeah, Pastor, that's you. The Lord's doing that through you. I can see that. And it happened. And it's going. It's been going now 4 years. So, 5 years. Boy, I'm getting old. So with that, I just want to encourage each of you to be bold in what it is the Lord has given you to do. Now, it might be something different and unique. When the Lord called me to be a pastor, I was doing demonstration sales at state fairs and home shows. I didn't go from the state fair to the pulpit in one step. The Lord took me on a trip to get there. But I knew where I was going. Just as Paul knows that he was going to teach the gospel to those who don't know it, who hadn't heard it. What is it that the Lord is directing you to do? Take the path boldly that will lead you there. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you've spoken to us on how we can better present the gospel, how we can better follow you. Lord, we pray that we would each one walk closer with you, that we would look to you for our guidance and direction, and you would open our eyes to see it and our ears to hear it, that we might walk step by step behind you where you lead and go where it is you send us. Boldly. In your name. Amen. Let's close as we stand by singing the doxology.